Song says that we are going to the throne to give thank you. You know, thank you is a term of thankful lifestyle, right? It's a lifestyle of thanksgiving. And a lot of us, though, we live a thankful life situationally. Like, we're saying thank you for a favor or a blessing or a situation that God has blessed us with. But really, the lifestyle of living a thankful life is about being grateful. The Bible says it's grateful living. See, we can live on the thankful living, and that's a situational thing, which you'll learn today. But when you transition and the divine shift happens in your life, you're now going to live a lifestyle of thanksgiving, which means you're just grateful no matter what. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:20, you've got to just give thankfulness, thanksgiving to the Father in heaven for everything He has given and done for you. It's a lifestyle in our lives. We don't live on just a situation. We don't live on an event or a circumstance. Because then, as Pastor Mike taught us last couple weeks, well, we have this filter. We have this type of point of view that says, you know, I decide if I will say thanksgiving, thank you, Lord, for that situation, or it's just not worthy of a thanks to heaven. It's not a favor, it's not a blessing, it's not something that I feel really helps me. So we decide, right? We've got this filter, we've got this point of view, this lens He taught us. That lens starts to filter what we say and how thankful we are. But see, if you're not living on the situation and you're living on the lifestyle of just being grateful, then the whole thing changes because the situation doesn't matter anymore. Because your focus, your lens looks at heaven in a relationship and not just a situation. It's a complete divine shift. It's a change in how you view your point of view, as Pastor Mike talked about. It's life changing. It's life changing. And some of us still aren't living it like that. Some of us are still living on the thanking Him for a situation and we haven't progressed yet. It's a process. Apostle Paul talks about, I have learned this process of being content. Why has he learned it? He learned it because now he lives a grateful life and not just a thankful life. I thank Him for the situations. I thank Him for the church. I thank Him for everything. And you know, when we look at the situations and maybe it's a bad situation and we don't feel like we've got the thanks inside of us, if we're living a grateful lifestyle, it's just all good. And I'm going to tell the church today, ask the church, we're going to go to prayer this morning and we're going to just go in an attitude of thanksgiving and just live grateful no matter what the situation comes our way. Can we do that today, church? Let's do that. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I am thankful. More than ever, Lord God, I'm thankful. Lord God, I'm thankful that I could live grateful. A lifestyle, Lord. I pray right now, Lord God, that if there's somebody here today or watching online that hasn't realized, haven't learned, and I pray today is their day, Lord, to transition, to shift from just living thankful to living grateful. From thankful to grateful. What a shift. Lord God, I pray right now that there is somebody here or watching online that needs to hear this, Lord. Let it be their day today. Lord God, we'll remain thankful. We'll live grateful. Lord God, I pray that we will have a great day in your house because you showed up way before we even decided to come today. Way before we decided to turn on that device. Lord God, you showed up. Lord, I pray right now that we have a great day in your house. That we leave here today changed, transformed. And Lord, I say thank you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Hey, have yourself a seat. Look at somebody and say, I'm going to live today thankful. I'm going to live thankful. Hold on, folks, as I get an adjustment. What a blessing to have the bass player being your sound engineer, right? Now, I'm going to tell you something. He's doing something that I am not bright enough to do. Put the batteries in the right way, right? Is that the problem? Well, there goes a battery, right? Thank you, Charles. Well, how is everybody today? I'm just...
Do it.
Oh, there it is. Somebody give praise to my sound guy. Yes, thank you. Wow. I don't know what it was, but he fixed it. Right? I got a feeling, folks, it was a battery situation. But he whispered in my ear, no, I don't think that's it. But I tell you what, the battery fell on the floor, and he put it back in, and now it works, right? Boy, I'm thankful for that, right? Hey, I'm thankful just to be back. I'm thankful to be back. Hey, if you're watching online today on Facebook and the online campus and YouTube and, let's see, on the podcast, what else we got? TikTok. Oh, my goodness, we are broadcasting on so many different platforms. I saw right before I came up front here today that Uganda, East Africa, or Uganda, Africa, I think you know exactly who you are. You're watching today, and you're asking us to participate with you in the future and broadcast Cross Point Church from Canton, Ohio, in Uganda, Africa. We'll be in touch with you. Thank you so much for doing that. That is such a blessing, right? Such a blessing. It is good to be back. It's always good to leave, but I tell you what, folks, I'm always thankful to come home. I'm always thankful to come home. We're entering a season of Thanksgiving. Can you believe it? We're like, what, a week and a half away from Turkey Day, Thanksgiving. And you know exactly what that means. This event happens in Northeast Ohio right when you get to Thanksgiving. Something happens, and it's crazy. It's awful. It's something that God cursed us with. White stuff falls from the sky, right? Boo, right? Got my snowblower already, and, you know, Nicole on the way to church today this morning says to me, she says, now, she couldn't say much because Nicole was suffering from laryngitis. Our drummer this morning on the worship team saying, that's your gift, Pastor. Right? I said, that's bad, right? It's not my gift. But she did say, hey, why don't you teach me how to snowblow? I thought, wow, you know, just in case I can't do it, right? And I said, I don't know. We'll think about that, right? Church, are you thankful today? Amen. I'm going to start a two-part series today and next week, and it's called Thankful to Grateful. You'll see it on your bulletin. You'll see it on the screen behind me, going from thankful living to grateful living as we move through the season of Thanksgiving. Then right after Thanksgiving, we move right into the season of what? Christmas. Say Christmas. Let me say it first. You probably haven't heard it yet today, folks. From your pastor to you, Merry Christmas. Right? Happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas. We're going to do a two-part series. But today I'm going to talk about, the title is I'm Thankful. I am thankful for so much, church. If you are thankful for something today, I don't care what it is. If you are thankful, do your pastor a favor and just give me a hand wave. Yo. See, you're thankful. If you're watching online, you can do the same thing. You can hit the button. There's a button there on all the areas that says, I'm thankful. And you can just hit the hand raise, right? The hand clap or hand raise. I see you, Janine. Yeah, there's people that are probably, Charles, more thankful. I was thankful for my sound guy this morning. I'm thankful that Charles brought my water up to me today. Now, I don't have Thanksgiving. That would be my gift back to my wife. But I don't have Thanksgiving. I don't have laryngitis today. I do have Thanksgiving. I don't have laryngitis, but I am thankful. I got back here a few days ago from being down south. And thank you so much, church, for allowing your pastor and his wife to go away. Here's what we did. Nothing. We did nothing. You know, yes, we did nothing. We rented an Airbnb in Fort Myers, Florida. Yes, of course, it's named after my wife and I. So we go there, and we just did nothing. Now, I was supposed to play some baseball down there, but many of you know that I was injured before I went and tore up my right knee a little bit, so I wasn't able to play much. Pastor, I was watching you online, and he was talking about, well, I haven't gotten an update from Pastor Brad yet, Pastor Mike last week or so, and that's because Pastor Brad didn't have an update to give you because Pastor Brad wasn't playing. You know, Pastor Brad could barely walk to dinner, but I was thankful to be there, right? I don't want to brag, but it was 88 degrees and sunny every day. Yes, it was 88 degrees and sunny, and we just laid out by the pool and just did absolutely nothing. It's great just to do nothing, right? I'm just so thankful. I came back, and there was a stack of pastor appreciation cards for my wife and I. Church, I just want to say thank you. What a blessing. Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate that. It was a blessing to get those. You know, the blessing is the fact that you write a note to us. A note of thankfulness, a note of blessing. Pastor Mike, Christine, Amber all feel the same. You know, we're not looking for a gift. We'd love to hear from you. We appreciate you. I'm so appreciative that you appreciate your pastoral staff. Thank you so much. I'm also very thankful that Pastor Mike stepped in there and delivered a powerful two-part series, right? Focus. The lens of your life. And I watched that online down in Florida in the second week, last week. We watched from, now you've been there probably, First Watch, right? The restaurant, First Watch. They serve the best breakfast. Now, First Watch is watching. You can send me a check here at the church at Crosspoint for endorsements, right? You can let us know that you appreciate that. So it would be 711 25th Street in Canton. So thank you, Pastor Mike. It was just an awesome, we're going to talk about that right now. Pastor Mike started his week one, the outward projection, right? He talked about his point of view or our point of view. He made this comment. He says, to produce a healthy fruit in your life, our outward projection needs to be focused through a healthy lens, right? Based on biblical truth. Right? That's your filter, your lens. Week two, he said that lens is affected by your internal value. Now, he talked about God sees us this way, but we see us a different way. And a lot of times how God sees us certainly isn't how we see us or we see ourselves. And it doesn't line up. And a lot of times we gravitate to what we see ourselves as and not how God sees us. And boy, I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be lining up, right? What a powerful word. Thank you, Pastor Mike. He talked about building that relationship with heaven, with Christ. That Christ relationship. It's shifting the focus from us to heaven. And I see it like this sliding scale. Like, right, you know, we look at ourselves right here. We have this point of view of ourselves. And the scale starts to slide. And it gets all the way, hopefully and prayerfully, get to the other side to how God sees you. Which is a whole lot different. I'm glad God sees me different than I see me. God sees me differently, right? It's about that Christ relationship. That relationship also determines how thankful and grateful we are today as people. Now, there's a difference, church, that I referenced during our transition. There's a difference between being thankful and living grateful. Now, a lot of us are thankful. I said, hey, how many here are thankful? And a lot of you, most everybody, raised their hands. I'm sure many people raised their hands and gave accolades or whatever online and said, hey, yeah, I'm thankful. Because we identify with being thankful. There's maybe a situation going on or we're just feeling thankful today. But there is a difference. Thankfulness goes like this. It's a reaction to a specific blessing or favorable event. I got a feeling many of us were not thankful if we spent some time in a hospital this last week. And there's some people here that were there, right? I don't know if we're real thankful for that, right? It's not something you feel like you want to be thankful for. You had to spend some time in the hospital. See, if we perceive it as good, then maybe we're thankful. If we perceive it as not so good, maybe we're not thankful. When Ephesians 5:20 says, just be thankful for everything. That's hard, right? It's hard, folks. It's hard to be thankful for everything because some of those things we see through our lens and it's not thankful worthy, kind of, right? It's hard. It's hard. Today we're going to learn a lot of things about being thankful. See, thankfulness is situational. It's based on a circumstance. But gratefulness, being grateful, is much deeper. It's a constant attitude that goes beyond that circumstance. It's a sense of trust, faith, and acknowledgement of God's constant presence and provision, regardless of the external situation. I just want to live grateful every single day. And during my living grateful, relying on God's provision, I am thankful for many of the situations that come into my life. And it gets harder when some of those situations are difficult situations. It's hard. But there's a reason, and I'm going to teach on that in the next couple of weeks, so let's just dive right in. The Apostle Paul talks of gratefulness and being content. Buckle your seatbelts. Here we go. Philippians 4:11-12. We have lots of scriptures to go through today, church. You can check the online notes, your sermon notes, from scanning that QR code in your bulletin or going to your church center app and looking for the church notes today, the sermon notes. So you probably won't catch all this today, but you certainly could get to those notes. Philippians 4, 11 through 12, the Apostle Paul says, I have learned. That talks right away. There's a process showing up. There's a process, and he learned it already. I have learned. It immediately tells us there's a situation there that he had to learn. There's a process that he had to learn. And he says, to be content. That means satisfied. I'm content. I am satisfied, he says, whatever the circumstances. Imagine that, church. He's satisfied. He's content with whatever the circumstance is in his life. He's got it covered. Why is that? I know what it's like to be in need, it says. I know what it's like to have plenty. But I have learned this secret. I have learned a secret about my contentment. In the midst of my contentment, in the midst of my being satisfied, I've learned something. Here's what he's learned. Of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living plenty or in want. He talks about this circumstance. Whatever the circumstance, I'm going to be there. Well, he's been whipped. He's been beaten. He's been imprisoned. He's been shipwrecked. He's been tossed around. He's been in the open seas, right? He's been harassed by enemies. He's been betrayed by his friends. And he is still what? He's content. He's still satisfied in all circumstances. It doesn't matter, he says. Why? Because he learned the secret of, in the midst of this contentment, in the midst of being satisfied, there is a secret that he identifies, and that secret is, I live grateful. And I am thankful for that. I live a thankful, grateful life. I don't live just thankful on the situation. I live grateful on all the situations, all the circumstances, the good, the bad, the ugly. I've learned the secret. Now, I've learned the secret. Many of you have learned the secret. And if you didn't know the secret, your pastor just told you the secret. But here's the challenge, folks. The challenge is not just to know it and learn it, but to live it. And there's where the rubber meets the road, right? There's the challenge. There's the challenge, right? Learned the secret of contentment is just living grateful. Thoughts like this. Paul speaks of learning to be content in every situation, which is a step beyond being thankful. It is an inner peace and gratitude despite the circumstance. Say, when the circumstance, the situation shows up in your life, if you're living grateful, that situation doesn't rattle you as much as it would if you weren't living grateful. And that's what Paul is telling us. I'm satisfied. You can give me food or you could take it away and you could throw me in the sea and you could toss me around and you could shipwreck me and put me in prison, but I'm still going to live it just the way, because I don't live on just being thankful. I live living grateful. Right? Here's what grateful talks about. Well, let's just jump right here. It comes from this. It comes from here. Philippians 4:13. Here's where it comes. This is the scripture that you are well versed in. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That is the lens of being thankful for God's provision in his life. I can do it all. Right? The scripture, which many of us have memorized, I can do all things through Christ because Christ is going to give me strength. That's the lens he's looking through. That's the one that Pastor Mike taught you about the last couple of weeks. It's my point of view. Here's my lens. I can do it all. And God's going to give me the strength to do it. I can live like this because God's there. It's a grateful lifestyle, not just situational, thankful living. But gratefulness is this. First Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. That's grateful living. And then there's this phrase. Now, a lot of us have memorized some of these scriptures because they're good for you to know, and here's why. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What? See, we toss around God's will, but God's will is his will. God's will cannot be changed. And the scripture says, this is his will for you and I, to live like this. And Paul tells us it's a process to get there. And then we learn how to do it, but then we still have to do it, right? And we come into the season of thanksgiving, and it's great. We'll talk about that a little bit. And Psalm 136, 1 says, just give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because he's good. For no other reason. I am thankful for the very reason is he's just good. He doesn't have to do a thing for me. He doesn't have to do anything for me. I'm just thankful that the Lord thy God, Jesus Christ, is just good. I got a place to go. And many of you here sitting today or watching online, you would say, I know when I used to be this. Before heaven showed up in my life, before I laid down my life, accepted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, I knew what I used to be like. But now you have something new, right? Some of us have been living that lifestyle for many, many, many years, and some of you have been living that lifestyle for 7 days or whatever. And you're just starting your journey. Give thanks to the Lord, for this is good. See, that's the gratitude that's just rooted in God's unchanging behavior. Unchanging. And this series is about thankful to grateful. It's about that divine shift. It's a divine shift in your life. We preached on that not too long ago. It's a divine shift in your life, not just to live by the situation, but to live by being grateful for all circumstances in your life. It's a shift from being situational to relational. From gratefulness is relational. You know, it was really great this past week. I received an email from a pastor in Pittsburgh. And he sent me this email. He says, I've been watching you online for quite some time. I've never heard of him. And Pastor, if you're watching again today, thank you so much. But you know, I sent him an email back and said, well, how do you watch? I mean, how are you watching and what's the situation? And he said, your Divine Shift message series was life-changing for me. So I looked him up, and he's an Assembly of God pastor in Pittsburgh, a children's pastor for 11 years. And I'm not going to mention his name, but he knows exactly who he is. But trust me, it's a true story. And we started to go back and forth on some emails. He talked about his daughter who goes to Malone, attended here a few years back, and he's in children's ministry. And he says, I was just lost. I'm a minister. I'm an Assembly of God minister teaching children every Sunday and Wednesdays and serving the kingdom. But I was stirred. I was unrest. I was going through this situation. I just didn't understand it. You come forward, and I'm watching you. I've been watching you for years. We didn't even know it, church. Our broadcast ministry now is in many countries, and people are watching everywhere, and it's just a blessing. There's people out there that we don't even know of, and he's one of them. And he thanked me for preaching on divine shift because it's changing his life. He said, I've been praying that God would give me a sign that I was supposed to make this change in my life, and now I know the shift is coming. And I sent him the email back, and thank you so much for watching, and I'm glad to have blessed you. Church, I'm just so thankful that I had the opportunity to bless another pastor. It's very humbling today, church. But next week, we're going to have an event. Next Thursday, there's this event, and it's called Turkey Day. It's Turkey Day. Now, I'm thankful for Turkey Day. And I'm going to tell you why. I like turkey, right? How many like turkey, right? Now, some of you eat ham on Thanksgiving. That's just wrong. That's just wrong, right? Ham's for Christmas. Turkey is for Thanksgiving. If you are a turkey Thanksgiving follower, give me a praise, right? It's Turkey Day, right? Janine's over here saying, no, Pastor, it's ham day. Ham. Janine, I counsel on Tuesdays. Counsel on Tuesdays. But I'm thankful. I'm also thankful for something else, you know, right? I'm thankful for it's also football day. I like football. I'm thankful that the Dallas Cowboys play on Thanksgiving. Now, I am not thankful for the Dallas Cowboys. Not anymore, right? I'm tired. I feel like I'm becoming a Browns fan, right? I feel like I'm because Browns are my second favorite team, folks. But I'm feeling a little like a Browns fan, you know, like we had so much expectation for the season, and I'm bragging, and I'm talking about it, and I'm thinking, this is our year, and, you know, but see, that's what the Browns fans say every year. This is our year. We're going to do it this year. Every year I hear the same thing, and every year I hear the same thing at the end of the season. Man, right? I feel bad. I love the Browns. I just loved it when Dallas beat the Browns the first game of the season, but Dallas is awful. They were awful this year. Right? I'm not thankful for that. But I'm thankful that I have the opportunity to watch. Really, you know, it's fun. Turkey Day, Thanksgiving. But, you know, I know I've been doing something here for the last few weeks that I normally don't do when it comes to Dallas because they don't lose too often. But I whine and complain. Yeah, I know. It's hard to believe. I know. You ask my wife, she says, oh, he does it all the time. You know, I'm just telling you, I've been whining and complaining about Dallas and talking to people about my Cowboys, and they're just not doing real well, and the quarterback's out for the season, and we're on the second-string quarterback, and half the defense was out hurt. They're just starting to come back, and yada, yada. But, you know, the season is, like, lost. And our kids, the boys and I are talking, because we're all Dallas fans, you know, we're just whining and complaining. Man. And I really got to thinking this last week, last few weeks, as I'm preparing for this message and I'm preparing for Turkey Day, I'm preparing for the Watch the Cowboys. They play every Turkey Day. You know, it's a thing, right? And I'm whining and I'm complaining. And I thought, God, I pray that I don't whine and complain about you like I whine and complain about the Cowboys. Now I'm preaching right at me. The best messages a preacher will preach are the ones they can preach right back at them. And I said, God, I hope I'm not whining and complaining. And I got a feeling I've been whining and complaining. I don't know. Maybe I'm just whining and complaining more than I'm living faithful and thankful. See, this whining and complaining affects our faith. The thought is like this. We can forecast our future faithfulness based upon whether we gravitate towards complaining or gratefulness. There lies. So I'm going to teach you some things today, church. Hold on. We're going to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And I'm going to read scripture by scripture. It'll be on the screen behind me so you can follow along. But this is a great passage in God's word. David is going to bring the Ark of the Covenant, the dwelling place of God in the Old Testament. He's going to bring that Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. No whining, no complaining. He's committed to do it. And I'm going to show you some things. It's not a scripture that we like study on. It's not something that we open the book and say, wow, you know, we're going to study in 1 Chronicles 16 today. But this morning, we're going to dive into that because there are some gold nuggets there, church, that you're going to want to see. It outlines what happens when we are thankful. And today, I'm thankful. It outlines what happens when we're thankful. The Apostle Paul talks about a process. The process is this, and you're going to see it in this scriptural passage here shortly. It goes from being thankful to a celebration. And then when you start to celebrate, you start to worship. Wasn't the worship team good this morning? Right? Yeah, it was really good. You could give them applause. It's okay. Yep. It's rough. Nicole had to call off. She never calls off. She had to call off late last night. Really, it was this morning. She said, I just can't sing. I got laryngitis. Thank you, Pastor Christine, for jumping in there. The worship team was fabulous. And they just jumped in there. And they had to make some last-second changes. If you know anything about worship and you're making last-second changes, it's really hard. Right? I know nothing about that. But I just know it's hard. It looks hard, right? But there's a process of going from thanksgiving to a celebration to worship. And you're going to see what happens here in this passage. Now, it goes thanksgiving, celebration, but I call it crazy worship. Church, it's okay to have crazy worship. You're going to watch what happens here, and you're going to want to do crazy worship more than you've ever done crazy worship. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 1. They brought the Ark of God and placed it inside a special tent. There is no temple yet, church. So they got to put it in a special tent that David put together, right? He prepared it for it. He put it together, okay? There's a whole series there. And they presented burnt offerings and peace offerings to God. Well, the burnt offering is like the highest type of worship. They burn up the animal or whatever. They put it on the altar, and they consume the whole thing. It's God. It's consumed. It's burned. That is a praise to heaven. In the Old Testament, you had to go to the altar and burn things up, right? And they talk about peace offerings. That's the peace offering is they only burn some of it. And the rest of it they take back. And the first thing that goes to the worshiper that put it there in the first place, and then it's distributed. And it's a sign of God's provision back to the people, okay? So they're doing their offerings. They're bringing the Ark of the Covenant back, the dwelling place of God. The Ten Commandments are inside of it. Maybe you know all about it. I'm not going to dive into that. You know, it's 4 feet long, and it's the box of the wood. You know, it's the Ark. It's God's dwelling place. David put up a special tent. He put it in there. And they start to have a celebration. They're thankful that they could do this and bring it back. They presented burnt offerings and peace offerings. 1 Chronicles 16:2-3. Here's what happens. When he had finished his sacrifices, David blessed the people in the name of the Lord. They gave to every man and woman in Israel a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins. What is that? That's a celebration of thanksgiving, church. The ark is back. Let's celebrate. Thanksgiving creates a celebration. Now, look what it says there. It says a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, a cake of raisins. I mean, that just sounds yummy, right? Well, no, it's today, here's what we do. Like, here's our Thanksgiving celebration. It's turkey, it's stuffing, it's a roll, and it's pumpkin pie. That's your Thanksgiving, right? But they're doing the same thing here. We're just doing it a little different, but we're still doing a Thanksgiving that leads to a celebration. Right? 1 Chronicles 16:4. But they did more than eat, folks. See, this coming Thanksgiving next Thursday, you got to do more than eat. Watch what they do. David appointed the following Levites to lead the people in worship. They're thankful. The ark is home. It's in Jerusalem. They're thankful. It's in a tent. It's not in a temple, but it's good enough for now, and they're thankful. And they're going to lead the people in what? Worship. Before the ark of the Lord, to invoke a blessing, to pray, to give thanks, to proclaim, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. They're getting ready for some crazy worship, like we do here on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. Crazy worship. 1 Chronicles 16:5-6. Now they're going to do crazy worship because they're thankful the ark's back. There's a celebration. They're going to start to worship. But before they get to the crazy worship time, they got to put together a worship team. And the Crosspoint worship team wasn't back then, right? So they got to figure it out. And here's what they do. Asaph, the leader of this group, sounded the cymbals. Boy, we're going to come out next week, Pastor Christine and Pastor Nicole. We're going to sound the cymbals, right? Right? We're going to sound the cymbals. Second to him was Zechariah, followed by a whole bunch of names that I can't pronounce. But here's why. It doesn't matter. It's the worship team. That's who they are. Look at those names. All those names, right? It's the worship team. And David's going to assemble a worship team. What do you need a worship team for? Because I'm thankful that the ark is back, and we're going to celebrate, and we're going to celebrate by worshiping. Why does Crosspoint start the service every Sunday with worship? There you go. They played the harp and the lyres. Now, this is not people that didn't tell the truth, right? This is the lyre is an instrument that you would hold, right, like this. It's kind of like a violin that you pluck with your fingers, right? That's what it is, right? You know what a harp is, much bigger. The priest, Benaiah and Jehaziel, now they're going to get involved. What? The pastors are going to start playing. See, that's why the pastors should be on the worship team. Right? Pastor Mike, right? Pastor Christine's on our worship team. Pastor Nicole, you know, this is why, see? This church has got to get with the scriptural program here. And they play a trumpet. I can play a trumpet. It won't be good, but I can do it. They'll play a trumpet regularly before the Ark of the Covenant. They will play the trumpet. The pastors will stand and worship, and they'll play a trumpet. It's going to be loud and intense. Why? Because they're thankful that God is in the house. They're thankful. They're going to play it loud, and it's going to be intense. That's why it's loud and intense here on a Sunday morning. Lyres, harps, cymbals, and trumpets. It's exciting. And David says, we're going to celebrate our thankfulness by worship. 1 Chronicles 16:7 says, and on that day, David gave Asaph, that's the leader, the worship team, and his fellow Levites, the song of thanksgiving to the Lord, Church, David is a songwriter. David went to the worship team and he says, listen, here's my song of thanksgiving. I brought the ark back. It was a challenge if you know the story. People died when they brought the ark back. Someone touched it, he died, right? You're not allowed to touch it. And they brought it back anyways. They finally did it. They're thankful, and we're going to celebrate with worship. But that worship is led by thanksgiving. Why? Because I'm thankful. I'm really thankful. And we're going to celebrate by worshiping. And David wrote a song of thanksgiving, the scripture says. And he had three components of that song. The first component was praying. The scripture says they invoked. We just read it, right? They invoked. Would they invoke? Prayer drove it. We pray in the green room. The green room is the worship room behind the sanctuary, behind the platform, pardon me, every morning, right? The worship team, the pastors get together. What are we doing? We're invoking prayer. What? For thankfulness, to celebrate and worship. So you don't even know what's going on. And at 9 o'clock, they're doing the same thing over here in the war room, the prayer room. They are invoking prayer time for the service as we celebrate and we worship and we preach the word. And David says, let's proclaim it. That means he said, let's give thanks. Let's give thanks. Church, we don't give thanks enough. I'm telling you. And then he says, let's praise. Praise to the Lord. What does that encompass? What does that become? Worship. He wrote the song of thanksgiving to worship. 1 Chronicles 16:8, then he tells us what to do with it. He says in verse 8, give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness during your worship time. Let the whole world know what he has done. I don't know, church, maybe it's just me. I don't know if we always do that. I don't know if we're just so excited and thankful and we celebrate when we worship. I don't know. I don't know if everybody knows. I think we should be so loud and the cymbals and the pastors blowing the trumpets should be so great that the people out on 25th Street and they can hear us even more so online, they should know that Cross Point Church is thankful no matter what. And we live grateful because of that thankfulness. And how do you know we do? Because we have crazy worship. We're all in, right? The word thanks in Hebrew means to throw. Means to throw. It means to pitch a praise. See, when you go to worship, your hands should be open and they should be empty. Why? Because the Bible says you should be pitching and throwing your worship to heaven in thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing the Ark of the Covenant back. Thank you that I'm not in the hospital this week. Thank you that I have paid my bills this week, Lord God. Thank you that I have a place to stay. Thank you I have a turkey in my fridge. Thank you for whatever it is in thankfulness in your life. You got to throw it during a time of worship. You got to throw it to the altar. It's going to burn up, and God's going to be pleased. Give him praise. He's pleased. And then he says, let the whole world know. Church, you could throw all the praise you want. You could throw all the thanksgiving you want. You could come in here and get blessed. And God could feed you. God could sustain you. God can change you. But if you go out in the world and you don't tell anybody about it, it doesn't mean as much. He says, you got to have this crazy worship and thanksgiving, and you got to be thankful, but you got to go outside and you got to tell somebody. They got to know. You've got to be the one to tell them. Don't keep it a secret. See, that thankfulness creates a celebration, and that becomes your worship. And it's got to be crazy. And King David, he says, I'm going to make it crazy because we're going to do all this stuff. And it's going to be loud, and it's going to be intense. Right? 1 Chronicles 16:9 says, sing to him. Yes, sing his praises, people. What praises? Praises of thanksgiving. Praises that you are thankful. Tell everyone about those wonderful deeds that God has done in your life that made you you and transformed you from where you used to be to where you're at now. Crazy things that God's done for you. People sitting here today that a couple weeks ago, they were in the hospital with crazy situations. Crazy situations this past week. But God. Somebody say, but God. But God said you're going to be in church on Sunday. Why? Because you live thankful. 1 Chronicles 16:10 says, exalt then in his holy name, rejoice you who worship the Lord. That's you and I. It says exalt. That means glorify. Somebody's got to glorify during the worship. You got to start pitching your praises to heaven. You've got to give glory. Rejoice means brighten up. Brighten up. That's what rejoice means in that scripture. Brighten up. Why? You got something to be thankful for. You got something to be thankful for. Rejoice and brighten up because you got something. You may not think about it today. You may not feel like it today based on life, but you've got something to be thankful for. So pitch it to heaven during the time of worship. Open up your hands and say, God, here it is. I'm thankful. And the summary of that entire process is in 1 Chronicles 16:34. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his faithful love endures forever. The Apostle Paul understood this. That's why he starts most of his letters in the New Testament, just like the one I'm going to read in Colossians 1:3. He says, we always thank God. We always thank God. Church, let's believe it together. We always thank God. Somebody say it with me. We always thank God. We always thank God. Sing it. Send it. Send it to heaven. Pitch it to heaven. We always thank God. I got it. Yes, there's our youth department. Yeah, we always thank God. Always, the scripture says. The Apostle Paul understood that. Many of his letters, he's saying, we always, sending a letter back to the church in Colossae, that's the Colossians, we always do this, church. And he sends most of his letters by that. We always say, thank God. I don't care what the situation is in Colossae today. I just don't care because you have to thank God. That's living grateful. That's the lifestyle of going from just being thankful what God did for you to living grateful for what he's done in your life. Makes you excited. Church, there are four reasons to be thankful as I wrap things up today. There's four reasons. This is the first one. There's four reasons that we're going to be thankful as a church. I'm thankful. God wants it. Let me tell you something, church. If God wants something from me or you, you got to give it. You got to give it. It's going to be a miserable life for us if we don't give it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. We read this. For this is the will of God, Christ Jesus, in your life. God's will in your life that's unchanging is for you to do it. Right? God, for his blessings. Be thankful for his blessings and his sovereignty. See, we got to bless God for his blessings in our life and just the fact that he's a sovereign God. Jesus wants to be thanked because he took away our sins, right? The Holy Spirit wants to be thanked because he guides me and you and he gives us comfort during those situations that we struggle to give thanks for. There is the Holy Spirit. There's the Holy Spirit guiding us and comforting us through that situation that we don't want to give thanks for. There he is. We got to give thanks for that because the Holy Spirit is there. Guiding and giving us comfort. God's angered by our grievances and our complaints, though, right? Numbers 11:1, the Israelites in the wilderness always complaining, right? Gosh, you took me out of all the bondage of Egypt, but then you stick me here? What kind of God are you? And the people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some, not all, but some of the outlying parts of the camp. Church, I got a question for you. Do some of you feel like the outskirts of your family, the outskirts of your camp, the outskirts of your job, your witness, your ministry is burned? There's why. Because we spend more time whining and complaining. Your pastor's probably leading the way, right? So the outskirts of it gets burned up because God doesn't like it. Here's another reason to be thankful. Everything is from God. 1 Corinthians 1:4-5 says, I give thanks. Here's the Apostle Paul doing it again, writing to the church in Corinth. He says, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given to you in Christ Jesus. That in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge. God's gifted you, church. Be thankful. See, there's not a single thing we own. There's not a single thing about us or who we are that was not given to us by heaven. Now, if that doesn't make you thankful, nothing will. Everything that you have today is God-given. Amen. Pastor, you don't understand. I've been through. Oh, yeah, I understand because I was there with you many times. I know exactly what it is to be in your situation most of the time. We know. But if I don't know, God knows. Right? Here's another reason to be thankful. Not being thankful hinders us from moving forward. Not being thankful puts you right where you're at. You say, I just can't get beyond where I'm at. Thank God that you got to where you're at. Exodus 16, 12, in the desert, they're complaining and now they're feeling entitled. Nah, we never do that around here. I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat. I'm going to come in and save you. And in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord thy God. Church, I don't care what season you're in right now. I'm telling you, just be thankful. That's what he's saying here. Moses, go tell the people, be thankful, because I'm going to show up in the morning. And then you're going to know that I am God. Your checkbook's going to have some extra money in it because you're going to know I am God. Your car's going to start in the middle of the winter. You're going to know that I am God. Your marriage is going to get reconciled because then you'll know I am God. Don't feel entitled. Don't feel this situation. Just be thankful that I am there to deliver you from it. That's what he's saying, right? You'll know I'm God. Promised land was waiting. That promised land is right there. Your deliverance is right in front of you, church. The situation is ahead. You've got to get there, but you can't whine and complain and expect God to push you the next step. Right? That promised land was just waiting, but the lack of thankfulness kept them from taking that very next step. Why is that, Pastor? Because entitlement holds us back. But thankfulness propels us forward into the life God designed for us. What happened in the middle of that? There's a divine shift. Entitlement holds me back. Church, you're not entitled to anything. But God gifts you everything. Thank you, Lord. I'm not entitled to anything. But I serve a God that I am so thankful for. And that grace and that mercy shows up. It's the last thing to be thankful for. Give thanks. That giving thanks changes your perspective. That's the lens that Pastor Mike taught you the last couple weeks. It's the lens in your life, how you focus. See, when we are thankful, our focus turns away from ourselves and to the goodness of God and all that he has done for us. Our hearts are stirred with joy. That joy begins to overflow. That's the celebration. And the result is fruit. I don't know. I want the fruit. And that starts with thanksgiving. Being thankful. Before I can get to a grateful life, I got to be thankful for what I got. Now, I'm not thankful for what God's brought me, then I'm not going to get to being grateful for everything he's done for me. See, when our thankfulness is consistent, steadfast, genuine, year-round, we then truly can say we're a thankful person. Now, let me tell you a quick little story about an actor named Denzel Washington. How many know an actor named Denzel Washington, right? Was in one of my favorite movies, in Nicole's favorite movies, Remember the Titans. Remember that movie? If you haven't seen it, you need to go home this afternoon and tonight and watch it. Remember the Titans. Many other movies. Some I think are okay, and some I think, eh, you know, right? But here's what I read that I was really impressed with. In 2015, at a church conference, Denzel stands up in front of everybody and starts to give testimony of how he lives his life. Now, I don't know him personally. I don't think anybody here does. Maybe someone online does. I don't, right? But he starts to give testimony of how he lives his life. He says, I read the Bible, he says. I get up every morning and speak what God has done for me the previous day because I'm thankful. And he says, I proclaim God's thankfulness into my life. I thank him for that. And then I urge people to do the same thing, to proclaim thankfulness, like David wrote about, proclaim thankfulness. No matter what it looks like, I'm still going to proclaim thankfulness. And then he says, I'm going to give thanks for every daily blessing he gives me. He calls that my lifestyle. Where have I heard that before? Why? He reads his Bible. It's lifestyle. See, church, it's impossible to be thankful and hateful at the same time. It's impossible. Church, I choose thankfulness. I choose celebration. I choose crazy worship. So I'm going to give you the opportunity here in a second to do just that. I'm going to give you the opportunity for some crazy worship. I'm going to give you the opportunity to come back and say, I'm going to do what the Bible says, the Hebrew thanks. I'm going to pitch some praises to heaven at the altar with open hands. And I'm going to scream and yell. I'm going to be intense. I'm going to be loud. I'm going to come into some crazy worship and thank God for what he has done for me, no matter what it looks like today. See, that divine shift from thankfulness to grateful living is when you say, I am going to go from thankfulness to that celebration, and I'm going to do some crazy worship like David taught us, and I'm going to pitch to heaven with an open hand. That means raise your hands. I'm surrendering is what it means. I'm going to pitch the praises to heaven, and it doesn't matter what it looks like today. I'm going to pray. Why? Because he's worthy of it all, church. Let's do that. Stand with me. If you feel like coming down to the altar today, church, you come down the altar and you start pitching your praises to heaven as our worship team starts to sing. He is worthy of it all.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. voices, lifting your hands and pouring out your heart before Him.
Praise offering. Don't hold back.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Before we dismiss, I'm going to challenge you, church. The season of Thanksgiving. I want to give you a challenge from your pastor today. Now I'm going to participate with you. From this day today through Thanksgiving morning, I challenge you to get up every single morning, and before you roll out of bed, or maybe you're praying or doing the devotion or whatever you do in the morning, no matter what the time, I want you to say to yourself, I pray today. I want you to pray for a Thanksgiving blessing that day. Just say, God, I know you're going to give it to me. And I want you to pray that you'll get it that day. There's going to be a blessing. Now, maybe you're going to say, it's not going to happen. You just cut the legs of God right out from under Him. And I'm going to say, we're going to get together as a church every single morning. Before you make your way into your day, you're going to say the prayer. David said, invoke it. Pray for it. I pray today. There's a blessing in my life today. Now, then at that night, when you come home, whenever your day ends, if you're like Nicole and I, it's very late. But before you go to bed, I want you to pray and thank God for that blessing that He gave you that day. And don't you dare get done for your day and say, He didn't give me a blessing, because I'll guarantee you that would not be accurate. It wouldn't even be biblical. There's a blessing for you that day. There's a blessing that showed up. I want you to, before you put your head on that pillow, to say, Lord God, thank you. If it's just another day, that's good enough. Lord God, thank you for another day. I'm on planet Earth, and tomorrow's going to look brighter because I have something for you tomorrow, but you got to get to tomorrow with a thankful heart before I bless you with it. You can't stay in the desert. You can't take a next step unless you're thankful, the Bible says. So you got to be thankful each day before you get to the next day to receive that blessing. Church, you're with me? So we're going to say a prayer in the morning and invoke that blessing for the day. And then we're going to receive it at the end of the day and say, thank you, God, I got it. What does that do? It forces you to say, I'm thankful. It forces us as God's people to look at the situations and the things of our day and identify that one blessing, maybe you think is only one blessing amongst a bunch of other stuff that you may not think is a blessing, but right in the middle is a golden nugget. And we're going to identify that gold nugget in your day as opposed to looking at everything bad that happened that day and letting the gold nugget blessing never be thanked. You with me? Thankfulness leads to a celebration that leads to crazy worship. Church, raise your hands and let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I'm thankful that you give me this day today to come back and deliver your word to Cross Point Church. Lord God, I'm celebrating today. Lord God, I'm celebrating in crazy worship. I'm challenging our people to be thankful. Lord God, I'm thankful today. Lord God, I'm going to live grateful. Lord God, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, let's go out today and be thankful to heaven. God bless you.
Pick me up. Turn me around. Place my feet on.
You heal.